And just wanted to let you know, we have the honor and privilege to have George Norrie with us today. George Norrie is the host of America's most fascinating overnight radio program, Coast to Coast AM. Looking back on his life and his passion for all things unexplained, George seems almost fated to fill this unique role. He always wanted to go into broadcasting in order to do stories about the paranormal and other subjects that the mainstream media would not touch. George was born in Detroit, and he has been in broadcasting for more than 30 years and has won 3 Emmy Awards as a news executive. Paula?
He was most recently on the radio in St. Louis before moving to Los Angeles, where he guides his huge audience through the night. Across America on 500 radio stations and around the world on the Internet, George's voice rings out, and today his voice is going to ring out with us.
Well, George, are you with us?
I sure am.
It's ringing out.
Well, when you were in St. Louis, weren't you known as the Nighthawk?
I sure was, Paula. I picked that up. You know, I was in the Navy for 9 years, and it's a fighter jet. And I just wanted a different kind of a handle, something that they would remember me by. And sure enough, most people, when they call in that program, they just simply called me the Nighthawk. Some of them didn't even know my real name. And it really caught on, and I just kept using it, and it was a great thing. And actually, some people still call Coast to Coast now from St. Louis, and they say the same thing. Hey, Nighthawk, we miss you.
Was the Nighthawk show very similar to the Coast to Coast?
Yeah, it sure was, and that's one of the reasons the network decided to try me out as Art Bell's backup initially, because we had the same kind of guests, the same kind of format. And it was I was fortunate, it was a highly rated program in St. Louis, but it had the same feel to it. So when the time came where Art needed someone to start filling in for him, and they were scurrying around the country to find somebody, somebody had mentioned, hey, you know, there's a program in St. Louis, it's doing real well, and, you know, he almost sounds like Art Bell. So they started listening to me. Of course, I didn't know that. You know, one day I had a little friendly phone call, and it was Premier Radio Network out of Los Angeles. And they said, you know what, how would you like to start filling in for Art Bell? And I went, come on, who is this? This is a joke. And they said, no, we're serious. And it's almost been 4 years. As a matter of fact, in another week, it'll be my four-year anniversary that I have been filling in or doing Coast to Coast on a regular basis.
Wow. I remember when you did Sunday night, when you first came aboard.
Exactly.
So I've been listening for a long time to the Art Bell Show.
You're a regular fan then.
You absolutely are.
Now, when you were asked to fill in, did Art have any, did he groom you at all to take over, or did...
Art is a different kind of character, and what he simply said on the air prior to me coming on was, hey, George gets it. In the past, when Art had left, Art has... had left a couple times previously. They had some hosts in there that were good talk show hosts, but it's a different kind of format, and it's a different kind of audience. And the network was concerned, let's make sure we get the right person in this time. So what the grooming was with Art was really a torch handing. They wanted to make sure that Art would endorse whoever came in and that the audience would accept that. And he did that very graciously, and it worked out really well for me because we didn't miss a beat. I mean, you normally, when a talk show host is replaced, that very familiar audience of the previous talk show host, you know, some of them get a little hostile. And in this case, it wasn't that way. And it was a great transition for us.
Now,
I think it worked out very well because you did Sundays, you know, for a while before you went to the weeknights. I think that was a real... good transition.
Yeah, they got to know me. They got to know my ability, and they felt comfortable with me. So when the time came where Art decided to retire from the full-time job, you know, he's doing weekends for us now, that it just moved very smoothly for us.
Now, as a kid, did you dream of doing what you're doing today?
Oh, as a kid, I just loved all this. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was about 12, 13 years old, I used to make model rockets, and I'd launch them in a big playground. And I had a friend of mine who would work with me, and we'd build these little rockets. His role was to put these little solid propellant engines in the rocket, and he'd launch them. And my role was I announced the launch to all these little kids that were around with us. And sure enough, he grew up and ended up building the engines for the space shuttle, and I went into broadcasting. Small world.
Wow. Now, how has Coast to Coast changed you and your life today?
Well, I got to tell you, when I started doing Coast to Coast, and my background has been hard news, but I've also, of course, been very inquisitive about the paranormal and the mysteries and the unusual. I always have since I was a kid. So that's one of the reasons that fueled me into going into broadcasting. But when I first started doing Coast to Coast, I started getting calls from people who have witnessed all kinds of strange anomalies. I mean, dead relatives that would come back and visit them. Very strange stories that I really wasn't too accustomed to at the time. And as these things kept coming in more and more and more, I began to realize, you know, there's got to be something to this. These people can't all be making it up, or they can't all be hallucinating. And I'm at a belief system now, and I've always believed in life after death, but I'm convinced now that there is something else out there, and lots of people have the ability to see this. Coast changed me a lot when it came to that. I've become more spiritual about just what life is, what death is, and it's changed me a little bit.
Well, I want to compliment you on how you handled the call-ins, because it's a real knack that you have. You honor everyone that comes on, yet you keep it short. And when the person leaves, you know that they're leaving knowing that you really listened to what they had. And I think that's a real knack.
Yeah, he's really sensitive.
I used to listen to talk show hosts scream at and hang up at people and call them names. And I'd say to myself, you know what, if I were a caller, well, number one, I'd never call the show again. But number two, I'd really feel bad. You know, they may be calling, they may have their friends with them, and for them not to get their few minutes of airtime to get their point across, you know, I think it's rude of a talk show host to treat people that way. You can get ratings, as we've proved it, by being kind to people, by being respectful. That's the way I was brought up. And the only people that get off the air quickly on my show are people who might be drinking a little too much, or they're rude themselves. But by and large, most people will get their chance to come on, and then if the call seems to not be going anywhere, I'll try to finesse it a little bit so they feel as if they got their point across without the audience getting bored, because that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how you are able to do that. Now, do you pick up the calls without a screener?
No, Art does that. I have a screener primarily in Los Angeles because of the system we have. And what we don't screen out people for what they're going to say, what they merely do is they pick up the phone, get the guy's name and address, and put them on hold, and that's it. I have no idea what they're calling about. I don't know what their subject matter is. So when I do get them, it's still relatively cold to me. They're just screened out. You know, sometimes someone might call from a cell phone and the quality's so bad. Rather than that get on the air all the time directly, the screener's job is to make sure that the calls are clear and things like that.
The one that I remember most recently was a fellow who called in and thought he had shot Bigfoot.
Oh, I know it. And he got to the point where he was bragging about it in his first call. He ended up calling back again a few weeks later after I said, you know what, why did you have to shoot him? Was he attacking you? And the guy said, no. And he called back and he says, you know what, I've been thinking. I feel really bad. I hope I didn't hurt him.
What kind of guests really get the juices flowing for you?
You know, they all do. They absolutely all do. A couple nights ago I had one that really got me going where he just wouldn't answer my questions. He kept going on and on and on about something. And I kept trying to bring him back down to earth, literally. And those things drive you nuts.
Yeah, we've had that.
Yeah, but by and large, the guests that we've had, I'm really fascinated by what might be going on by governments on this country. This most recent situation where they have sent out the 1957 flu strain to 5,000 laboratories around the country and the world, and now they're scurrying to get them because they realize they're bad. I love those kind of stories because I just it boggles my mind at how governments can be so moronic, and they affect our lives every day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you stayed away from political subjects for a while, I had a sense, and then you've come back to it recently. Is my sense correct? Or
what I try to do is pace it a little bit, and the subjects that we handle that may seem like political are really subjects that affect us all. You know, if I talk about Iraq, I'm not going to talk about the political ramifications of whether democracy is going to work there or anything. I want to find out why we're there. What did we go in there for? I mean, who's benefiting from us being there? And those are the issues I look at all the time. 9/11, same thing. Did Islamic terrorists do what they did? Absolutely. But I want to find out who was involved with them, who knew of what they did, who financed them. Those are the angles we look at on Coast to Coast. There is a story there that we've broken that is just starting to get picked up now by mainstream media about microbiologists who have died or have been murdered under strange circumstances around this planet. There's over 50 of them now. All of them have the capability of solving any kinds of disease problems that would occur on this planet. Why are they dying? Why are they being killed? It doesn't make any sense. So what we try to do is connect the dots so there's a bigger picture here. And it just works very effectively for us that way.
Doesn't that make you feel like you're really performing your purpose when stories come up from the surface like that that you've actually have discovered?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I'd like to find out about your new CD. Exactly. How did this get started? And do you play a musical instrument?
I have a friend of mine who I sing, by the way, but I won't do it today for you.
Darn.
I have a friend of mine who lives in Los Angeles, and he always wanted to produce a CD of Coast to Coast, and he'd been telling me, let's do this. Finally, he got to the point where he bugged me so much, I said, okay, let's do it. So what he did is he developed a double CD called After Dark, which is based on our newsletter. And it's 2.5 hours of bumper music, which people have heard on the program before, real phone calls that have come into the show, and ghost stories. If anybody's interested with that, they can pick it up off our website, which is coasttocoastam.com. It was a fun thing. It's good to have it out there. I'm not going to do any more CDs. I think one is enough for me, but it's there. It'll go on forever in terms of posterity, and it's sold very well for people.
Well, I've always thought the music that you pick for the bumper music is great. I just like that kind of music. And I was I ordered your After Dark, and I love the music.
Great.
Oh, yeah. And were there any surprises when you were developing this CD?
Yeah, how long it takes sometimes to read something without making a mistake.
Yes, really.
Now, you were already in production before because you did TV, is that right?
Yes, I sure did.
Okay.
And, you know, you get into a recording studio, and what you think is good, the producer will stop you 40 times, and he'll say, no, do it like this, do it like this. And it got to the point where I was going to say, just keep the first take. But
sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it happens, that's right.
Do you like radio better than television?
I do, because I think it creates the mysteries of the mind. I think with radio, people make up their mind of what they're hearing, and they paint pictures with it. With television, it's just right out there for you to see. And television, of course, is a very important medium for everybody. But radio's instant, and it really does allow you to let your own imagination run wild, and I enjoy it. I really do. I'm going to do it at least through 2012.
Oh, good.
And we'll see what happens afterwards.
Now,
the Mayan calendar ends right about then.
Well, speaking of 2000,
I was going to say, didn't you have a near-death experience or something? And I kind of remember you saying something happened, and or that you had a way to view something in a different way.
When I was 11 years old, I had an out-of-body experience, which is really what got me interested in what I'm doing today. I had stayed home from school. I had a fever, 11-year-old kid. And when I woke up, I wasn't in my bed. I was bouncing off the wall, looking down at my body in the bed. And I had no idea what that was. It then, at that instant, rammed me back into my body. And we didn't have computers then, so I went to the library when I was better and just started looking for things that I thought might have been out there that that would help me. And I stumbled across the astral projection books, and I started just really digesting things like that. And that's really what pushed me in the direction I'm in today.
Now, did you get any inclinations? Would it be like 2012? You said you're going to hang in there until 2012.
I have this little hang-up about the Mayan calendar, which ends December 21st, 2012. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. Were the Mayans so smart that they knew about some ungodly Earth changes? Is there an asteroid? Will there be a polar shift? Did they simply stop making calendars? Who knows? But that's a period, I think, that I want to stay through and take our coast-to-coast audience through that date.
Ooh.
And see if anything really happens. I mean, I'm very, very curious about it.
Thank you. Thank you for remaining there.
Yeah.
Well, now, I have to ask you also, what was the most fun part of putting your CD, George Norrie After Dark double CD, together?
The phone calls, going back over the last couple of years, pulling out some of those old callers, some of which you forget, and then just listening to them again, because they're just hilarious. You know, a woman who would call and she would see the silhouette of a person on her wall, and while we were on the air, I'd tell her, well, go move it, go touch it. And she would, and she said, oh my God, it's cold, it's coming at me, and things like that. I enjoy that.
You almost become a psychologist sometimes when you're
psychotic. I'm not sure which.
Because you actually help people. Sometimes I hear you really actually helping people. So
we've had people call who are near suicide. And there are some programs out there that the guy would call and hang up on the guy and make fun of him. I can't do that. You know, if this guy really is that depressed where he's in a position to take his own life, I mean, I'm not going to contribute to that. I've kept people on like that for 10 minutes. And, you know, I cut a deal with them on the air. I say, I want you to check in with me every week, see how you're doing. I got an email from somebody several months ago who had called in when we were on the air with Sylvia Brown, the psychic. And the way we handled him, and apparently he was very depressed, he claimed that that one phone call saved his life. And he's been able to put his life together. When things like that happen, you realize that this program is worth anything you can put into it when you can save somebody like that.
Right. Just one person will make everything worth it.
Absolutely.
Well, you really come across as being so sensitive, and people really can pick that up. It's really wonderful to have a person like you on the radio.
Well, I have parents who, I guess, gave me the right upbringing. I had a great childhood. They let me do what I wanted to do. I made my mistakes along the way, but, I mean, they were always there for guidance. And they're still alive. They're in Detroit. My dad's in his 80s. My mother, she's in her late 70s. But I really think they gave me the foundation I needed to do what I'm doing.
Well, we're glad they did. Now, do you have a favorite guest?
I like them all.
Well, I knew you were going to say that.
I like them all because they're all different. I mean, there are some that are better on radio than others, like Richard C. Hoagland, who has come up with the Mars Theory and stuff like that. But I do. I do enjoy them all because they all bring different perspectives to the program, whether they're talking real science or something spiritual or something conspiratorial. They all have a role to play, and so I really can't pick one over the other.
What about the most memorable show?
Oh, the most memorable show that I've ever had. I think when I interviewed a fellow by the name of Riley Martin, who claims that he gets picked up on a regular basis by aliens, and he's taken to Saturn, where they have parties on spaceships, and then they bring him back.
Is he the one that you lost contact with?
No. I lost contact with, and Art has lost contact. We've lost contact with a couple guests. he had one called Mel Waters, who apparently had a hole on his property that went down to the end of the planet. Who knows how deep it was?
Yeah, I remember.
We can't
that.
Find Mel anymore. I think maybe he fell into his hole. So he's gone. And I've had a few that were going to call us back. There's a time traveler. His name was John Titor.
Well, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and he started posting on the Internet, and he's gone. Maybe he went back to the time period of 2036, which is where he claims he was from.
Now, do you read all your emails, or do you have help for that?
I read everything. I will answer as many as I can. Obviously, you can't respond to them all, but I do that on an ongoing basis. When I'm on the air, when I'm working, Monday through Friday, it's a 12 to 14 hour day for me.
People just don't realize how much work is involved.
No, I know. We're on the air for 4 hours, but I'm doing prep time way before that.
Now, are you a natural night hawk?
Yeah, I am now. I've been doing late night radio since 1997. And so my whole body is
well, area, so that's great that they
right.
that you're going to be there.
Well, you're going to be able to meet and greet
absolutely.
Them and everything.
It's, you know, I figure if I'm going to be at a place and they want to come and see me, I'm going to give them the time. And so right after the presentation, I'll be hanging around.
And anybody can hang on to the website. It's www.nudelivingexpo.com.
Yep.
And go in there. There's a phone number to call. There's an email to email to and pick up your tickets in advance so you can have the opportunity to be with George Norrie and shake his hand.
I'm looking forward to it.
What subject are you going to talk about?
It's called We Are Not Alone. That's all I'll tell you right now.
Oh, that reminds me, the shadow people, that mm-hmm. comes up in your program all the time. Have you had an experience with shadow people?
I have had an experience with shadow rodents. About a year ago, I'm driving in St. Louis, where I spend 30% of my time, because it's the old hometown, and I see scurrying across the road 10 or 15 strange-looking shadow creatures that look like opossums, but they had pointy ears and antennas sticking out. I'm not kidding you. And these things just scurried across the road, and I'm looking at them going, what the heck are these? I have seen these now for the last every other month. I haven't seen any now for months. I don't know where they've gone. But all of a sudden, I started talking about this on the program. People started calling me saying that they've seen these same things. I'm beginning to think, and I do believe some physicists, that we have multiple universes in various dimensions. I'm beginning to think that sometimes they cross over. And it may very well be that these creatures who exist physically in their own universe or on their own dimension are somehow moving into ours because they didn't see me. I mean, I ran right through them. They were like smoke almost.
I think maybe Bigfoot's from another dimension.
He may be, too.
Yeah.
And some of the UFOs may be.
Now, I think there's a theory out there that says from all of the Internet aspects and computer usages, and our eyes are becoming more quicker to fast motions and that kind of thing, and it's kind of implemented another dimension into how we see. And maybe this allows us to be able to see into newer dimensions than before. Do you think that that's the case, or have you thought about this?
You remember the movie The Sixth Sense with the little kids used to say, I see dead people. I think all of us have an ability to be intuitive, psychic, and to see things that you cannot normally see with your eyes. I think the mind allows you to do a lot of things, and yes, I think as people become more tuned into things, things begin to happen. And I've done it before. When you're in the groove of what I call the wireless matrix of this universe, you can do some incredible things with that. You can communicate with people in your dreams. You can accomplish things. And once you understand how it works and you believe it, because once you start to think negatively about it, it doesn't work for you. But if you use it in a very positive way, incredible things will happen to you.
Okay, I just want to tell people also, don't forget to hook in and get George Norrie's After Dark double CD. I mean, it has awesome. There are 7 bonus tracks for callers and guests on it. It includes, it's 2 CDs, actually. And George Norrie is reading Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart, and it goes on and on. He really has prepared an incredible CD for people to be able to listen to and share. And by all means, tune in to him nightly or Monday through Friday.
And you can hear.
I've had a great time, and in a couple months, my very first book comes out, and I'll let you all know about that.
Oh, I was hoping that was going to be out before we got to talk to you, but
is there a title?
It's called Worker in the Light. And it's about my life in the paranormal world, and it's almost finished, and I'm really happy with it.
Is there anything particular you can kind of give us a little nudge?
You're going to have to wait.
Oh! Now, people can get your CD on your website, and they can pick you the streaming up on the website.
Yes, absolutely. We have a number of people who we call it StreamLink. And right over their computer, they can listen to the show. But it's different because, you know, as I tell people, you listen to your show on your radio, and that's the great way to do it. But StreamLink also provides them the opportunity to download past programs, interact. We do a chat once a month with me, so there's a lot of things that go on there. So we used to have people that wanted to buy tapes of the show. Now, for just using StreamLink, which is like $6.95 a month, you can download all the programs for the whole month and put them right on your computer. Where in the past you'd have to spend like $25 a cassette for a show, you get them all for $6.95 for the whole month, the whole thing.
Can't beat that.
Even up to 90 days, as a matter of fact.
Mm. Do you have any listeners on the internet from Iraq?
I have soldiers who exist, and they listen via StreamLink. Yep.
Norrie's website is www.coasttocoastam.com.
And we thank you so much, George,
you.
For taking time and getting up so early for us.
Good luck. How's the weather in San Francisco right now?
It's a little windy, but other than that, the sun's shining.
Great. Okay, take care.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.